Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the program. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. It is so great to be with you today. I want to talk about a big problem. You know what that big problem is? We have U.S. companies funding Chinese companies that are literally building China's nuclear arsenal. Look at this headline in the Wall Street Journal. BlackRock in China. Nuclear buildup, underwritten in part by leading Wall Street firm, report says. And then you've got BlackRock and other companies investing in almost 30 other Chinese companies that are helping build Chinese military. This is, folks, a huge issue. And the United States under Joe Biden seems to be completely silent about all of this. So we're going to bring on the folks over at the New Federal State of China. Talk about this, what it means, and why we are funding what could lead to the destruction of America. We're literally helping our enemies prepare for war against us. Call me crazy, but that makes no sense. So with that, let's get the show started.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, as usual, we have our friends over at the New Federal State of China, the organization aimed at taking down the CCP. Ayla Wang is back with us. Ayla, it is great to see you. Happy Friday to you.
Good to see you. Thank you for having me, Grant.
All right. So, Ayla, we've somewhat touched on this issue of U.S. companies investing in Chinese companies, specifically technology, industry, military technology as well. And now we're getting this report that BlackRock is investing in. This is a huge investment firm. BlackRock is literally investing in companies that are building up China's nuclear arsenal?
Absolutely, Grant. So the problem here today with BlackRock, that if you can, you know, investigate on the stakes that BlackRock holds in China, you found that BlackRock holds almost more than 40 million stakes related to Chinese CCP's nuclear industries. And then the two major companies, one is CGN and the other is China's National Nuclear Power. And, you know, beyond that, it's not just BlackRock's, begin to funding or continue to back up CCP's nuclear powers. The problem here today is that even with the initial investments coming from these U.S. Tycoon hedge funds and business funds, these investments were directed and supported by senior officials of the Chinese Communist Party back in the days. As we've, you know, told and shared with our audience in the past, that the first investments from Goldman Sachs and from Blackstone's to Communist Party was actually directed and initiated by the senior official, Wang Qishan, the former vice premier of the Chinese Communist Party. And I will believe, you know, the same strategy when applied to BlackRock as well. And beyond that, BlackRock has also been notoriously known for supporting industries related to Uyghur forced labor organizations in China as well. More than 50 million investments have went into those organizations in the past. And as you said, you know, at the beginning of the show, Grant, we had a problem here. Today, our ventures have been investing and funding the biggest enemy of America, the Chinese Communist Party, to build up military against us.
All right. So the way I look at this, we have two problems when we should have one problem. The one problem we know we have is China. We know they are waging a war against us with technology and an information war, a cyber war, and all of these things. But the other problem we shouldn't have, and the other problem is the United States government. For a long time, long before President Trump was in office, long before Joe Biden was in office, we have an American government that enables the Chinese to prosper, that enables American companies to invest in China and help China prosper. This is a problem we shouldn't have because we're propping up our enemy here with this. Does that ever change in the United States? I know the New Federal State of China is trying to get that to change in the United States because the best way you take down the CCP is cutting off the spigot of American money and decoupling our economy. But what's your assessment of America's issue right now in all of this?
Absolutely, Grant. And you know, a slight difference here is that the only problem is about the Chinese Communist Party and not China as a whole nation, right? And the problem here today is that if you look at all of the technology advancement and these economic prosperity that brought up in China in the last few decades, all these prosperity came from direct investments from United States and European countries, right? The Chinese Communist government will not be able to produce, you know, such great economy through a dictatorship regime. And the problem here today is that we've seen some moves and some efforts coming out from from some politicians and lawmakers in this country. But overall, if you look at BlackRock, if you look at Wall Street, these people have never stopped colluding with the Communist Party. You know, even after the COVID pandemic, after nearly millions of American people's death numbers and infection rates here in the United States, the Chinese Communist Party continue to receive funds from these tycoon adventures from Silicon Valley to Wall Street. And that is where the essential, you know, problem here in the United States. The CCP used the money, used the sexual relationship, used the honeypot to bribe your lawmakers, to bribe your politicians. And these lawmakers has been transferred their interests from United States to the Chinese government.
You know, I've always been a firm believer that when it comes to a free market capitalist society, that the leaders of companies, I don't care what size, have one job, one mission, and that is to do what's right by the shareholders of that company. The company needs to make money. That's the goal. It should be to make money. You don't let politics play into this. Now, some might argue, okay, well, their goal is to make money, so they go to China. Here's the problem where I say you're doing your shareholders a big disservice. If you go to China and you might make millions on the front end, billions on the front end, when the back end rolls around, then there's no more money because that's the destruction of America. So you're taking it all, you're gorging it all in for the quick buck, but in the end, you're doing a very big disservice to shareholders because in the end, there's not going to be anything left. God forbid they used a nuclear weapon against the United States or shut us down. Our electricity grids and our entire economy is shut down because of their capabilities. So this is the difference I see here. And I think this is why it's important that American companies decouple from China. Are we seeing any sign that that is starting to happen?
Grant, if you look at, you know, the statements that Janet Yellen and Antony Blinken has made when they were visiting in China, right? Yellen had made it very clear that United States does not proceed to decouple from communist China. What they were looking at is to making sure the policy can be adjusted into a way that were beneficial to businesses are in both countries. And I will tell you one thing, right? This will never happen. There was never a win-win policy that was designed for the Chinese Communist Party or planned by the CCP to apply for the United States business. The win-win policy goes for the Communist Party is that the CCP win twice and America will always lose. And this is how the CCP have been planned for decades. You look at all of the businesses that they have earned quick money from the Chinese Communist Party, you know, ever since the door opened up from China. But the problem is that you are surrendering your technology, you are surrendering your intellectual properties. You look at China today, Tesla had built up the world's largest factory in Shanghai, and Elon Musk has just finished his visit in China. And you've seen more and more business have surrendered their business interests and their intellectual properties and technologies and even private data of their users and clients to the Chinese government. This is where United States have been surrendered to the Chinese Communist Party in the past, and we should not tolerate them anymore.
No, we shouldn't. And it's going to take individual organizations to stand up and say no. I know in Texas, they've taken some of their big pension funds, the state, and said no more investing in China, and they're pulling money away from BlackRock. More states do that. Maybe BlackRock will stand up and take notice. But this guy, Larry Fink, he is the CEO of BlackRock. You always see him at the World Economic Forum and where all of the I call them the evil villains of the world like to flock to. Here, I'm going to play a clip for you because he's talking about depopulation and what a benefit that is to society. Now, I could make a lot of arguments why I think he's wrong on this, but let's listen to him and then we'll talk about why he's making this comment. And I think it has a lot to do with China as well. So let's listen to Larry Fink.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. And so for those countries that have rising populations, the answer will be education, and so rapidly develop. You know, for those countries that do not have a foundation of rule of law or education, they're going to be left. That's where the divide's going to get more and more extreme. And unfortunately,
Ayla, truthfully, listen to him talk. He talks as if this is just basic stuff, and it is sick what he is talking about. He's talking about declining populations being replaced with AI and computers, and the societies that have a declining population, their quality of life is going to go way up because you're going to have all these computers. You're only going to need a few people. And I guess those few people are going to be him and his buddies somehow making money. I don't know where you're going to make money, though, if there's nobody left to buy your goods and services. But to me, all of this is a frightening scenario of what the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization are really striving for. And that's a decrease in people.
Grant, I'll be very straightforward on my opinion point about this, right? Let's just be clear. If his family and if his entire family are facing the shrinking population, while he still say that his standard of living and his living quality will be increased, and will he be able to say that when his family members were among the majority of the shrinking population, right? And with all of these crazy and evil depopulation theory, that was not, you know, strange to the Chinese people. In fact, that almost a decade ago, Beijing has raised a concept of low-end population, meaning that if you were categorized by the Chinese Communist Party as low-end population, you will not be able to enter in Beijing. You will not be able to enter in, you know, certain locations of China because you are low-end, because you do not have enough income, because you do not have, you know, a proper social status in the society that was controlled by the Communist Party. And today, if you look at the COVID pandemics, the three-year COVID pandemics, with all of the Chinese Communist Party, what they were doing was just trying to trap people, restrain people from leaving their home, right? They were trying to use toxic vaccines to disappear, the old people and to disappear the unhealthy people that were suffering from disease. And if you look at all of the COVID-19s, they shut off electricities in hospital. They shut off internet in villages. When there were floods, when there were other natural disasters in China, basically what CCP was doing in the past decades was exactly the same of shrinking populations in China. And with all of these senior family members, they have been doing all of the organ transportation surgeries to keep them long living at all times. This is primarily why, you saw your college students disappeared, and you saw all of the scandals from these organ harvestings, and you saw all these, you know, forced laborers in the Xinjiang Uyghur camps. These kids have been missing because of the needs of organs of the Chinese Communist Party senior official members. So today, when we're seeing, you know, theories of depopulation and theories of evil shrinking populations to make a countries more developed and more rapidly advanced in AI technologies, I would not be able to believe that how could these audience be silent when they were hearing this evil theory, and how could the CEO of BlackRock saying that if his family was among, you know, in the shrinking populations, would he be able to say that? And these people are very straightforward and clearly evils.
Yeah, it's frightening, and it's interesting what you say, because everything is available, I guess, to those at the top in China under Chinese Communist Party rule. So the organ donors, they'll save the life of you if you're, what did you say, not low end. If you're low end, you're out of luck. Now, here's the thing. I would assume, and Ayla, maybe correct me, most people in China under Chinese Communist Party rule have to fall into the low end category. Exactly. Not a lot of members of the Chinese Communist Party that are rich and wealthy.
Exactly. And as you said, you know, if you are farmers and even with business owners are even less than prostitutes in the eyes of the Chinese Communist Party's members. This is what exactly Miles had been saying in his, you know, previous expose videos. You look at Beijing, right? They're looking at whether you were Communist Party members. They're looking at whether your parents are having some certain positions in the government. And if you are not, you're on your own luck. This is exactly what you said. And today, you know, the CEO of BlackRock was trying to adopt the strategies of the Chinese Communist Party and make other people believe. And if you think that, you know, the elites in the society are promoting such theories, and then we're having a huge problems. Artificial intelligence are advancing people's technology, but not to replace humans, right? And when these devils utilize artificial intelligence and try to promote the shrinking depopulation theories to the public, and this is exactly why they were building more and more bioweapon labs with the Chinese Communist Party. This was exactly why they do not care about the lives who were trapped in the Xinjiang Uyghur camps, and they continue to fund those organizations for the CCP to be empowered to do so. And so, Grant, we're facing today that every single of us has to make a choice, whether you are standing with these evils or whether you want to, you know, hold our hands tight and to fight against these dictators. Yeah.
It's so important. And, you know, this reminds me of what's going on college campuses across the country. So these idiots across the country are literally hell-bent on supporting pro-Hamas lunatics in Gaza, going after Jews with this Jew-hating rhetoric. I actually think they hate capitalism, they hate America, and this is all part of the Antifa model. But why aren't they out there protesting what's going on with the Uyghur Muslims? Why aren't they out there protesting China and rallying in support of those that are being oppressed in a country like China, or Boko Haram, a terror group that takes schoolgirls by the hundreds, rapes and murders them and takes them hostage? We don't see anything like that. So they'll ignore many of this, and the fish rots from the head. They ignore it because you know who else ignores it? Washington, D.C., the Biden administration, don't say anything about it. At least President Trump would confront Xi Jinping on these very issues.
Grant, you know, an interesting detail that can be shared with our audience and with you today is that if you look at Antony Blinken's visit in China last week, Hamas was also doing quote unquote peaceful talks with Beijing at the same time. And so when President Xi was shaking hands with Antony Blinken, Hamas and Fatah was also holding conversations in Beijing. Yeah. And this exactly tells you about CCP's attitudes and the dark hands behind all of the Middle East crisis here today. And if you look at all of the protests, you know, among the schools and the institutions here in our country. The problem here today is that if you hate capitalism, if you hate America, why don't you immigrate to China? Why don't you immigrate to Venezuela, to a communist nation, right? And if you want to support Hamas, the best way was not to protest in a school like this. If you think that your ideologies are identical to Hamas, then you should ask, why would the Communist Party continue to fund and send over military logistics to Hamas, in the past several months? The problem here today is that all of the social chaos that you saw here today aligns with the same interests of this Chinese Communist Party.
Of course it does.
They're anti-Jews. They're anti-white. The vaccination project was designed for eliminating the Jewish and for eliminating white people in the planet. And this exactly aligns the interests of the CCP.
It does. And so then you have China's military expansion as well, which is something we really need to be concerned about. Clearly, they wage war on us at a much more quiet level with their technology and their infiltration of our technology and our critical infrastructure. But they are on the move militarily. I saw this video. This is the Chinese Navy basically blasting a Philippines Coast Guard boat with water cannons. Now, the Philippines are certainly an ally of the United States, but China is now blasting away, as you can see, the Chinese naval ships there, blasting away at this boat that is from the Philippines. Ayla, why? What is China up to here with this kind of behavior? I mean, obviously that's not deadly behavior, but it certainly is provocative, I think, to say the least.
It is absolutely provocative, and it shows the arrogance from the Chinese Communist Party and the naval force expansion as well. I personally believe that this can be indicated as an indication from the Chinese Communist Party that they will continue to be aggressive and provocative in the Filipino ocean area and also in the Taiwan Strait as well. As you can tell that Philippines is an ally of the United States, and nowadays that the United States, Japan, and Philippines has also reached to a joint statement of defending their ocean areas' safeties and securities to keep them away from the harassments and intimidation from the Chinese Communist Party. And I think that triggered and that angered the CCP in the past. And I could tell you that, the water cannon that the CCP or the PLA, the People's Liberation Army of the Chinese Communist Party, has been trying to use to against any of these Filipino fisher boats, this was not the first time. Yeah. Almost in every single quarter, in every year that you saw these water cannons all the time. And this is exactly what the CCP was doing, to ensure their expansion and naval expansion as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, I mean it's horrible behavior. And then again, the United States remains silent on this. We need to be speaking out, so this kind of thing will not be tolerated. A gentleman I've interviewed before, his name is General Spaulding. He's been very tough on China and explaining what we are up against when it comes to the Chinese Communist Party and their war on America. And currently, I don't even know if you can call it a quiet war, but it's certainly not a kinetic war where it's military war. But let me play a clip from you, him explaining some of the things we've talked about. But it's interesting hearing this from a retired general.
Influence is far easier, less risky, and profoundly more effective than military weapons when conducted in our globally connected world. Chairman Mao Zedong, whose legacy is carried by Chairman Xi Jinping and the current Communist Party elites, describe it as warfare without bloodshed. I call it simply influence. During my subsequent years of service, I devoted as much attention to studying influence as I had to traditional military tactics. This is far more familiar to the members of the People's Liberation Army, the armed political wing of the Chinese Communist Party. Today, the Chinese Communist Party and its proxies wage a global political war to influence the face of human civilization, using the tools of statecraft, business, economics, trade, finance, academia, and especially technology. Chinese companies working on behalf of the Chinese Communist Party influence American businesses and financial institutions with seductive promises. In turn, these American organizations influence our political process to ensure we maintain an economic connection to the party's influence, simultaneously eliminating manufacturing jobs for America's working class. Our universities and educational system are influenced economically with grants and Chinese student tuition. Our best and brightest scientists are influenced to move technology to China. State, local, and federal politicians are influenced by Chinese investment and the often unfulfilled promise of jobs in their districts. Apps like Temu harvest user data, while other technology platforms like TikTok influence our thoughts and behaviors by sowing distrust of our political system, encouraging partisanship, and indoctrinating our younger generation with a CCP-oriented worldview. This is not by accident, but through a measured socio-political model developed after a thorough study of how the Soviet Union succumbed to Western liberalism during the first Cold War. The Chinese Communist Party recognized to undermine our republic, they must first establish a facade of friendship and cooperation, positioning themselves as partners on issues such as climate change and peace, while clandestinely manipulating the mechanisms established in the aftermath of World War II to expand their influence and control. Their goal is to impose a system that, though seemingly free on the surface, mirrors the oppressive principles of the Soviet Union. To free ourselves and the world from this tyranny, we must completely separate the institutions of the free world from the Chinese Communist Party influence, or we continue the slow disintegration of our republic.
So, Ayla, there you go. He says the same thing that we talk about, is decoupling from the Chinese Communist Party. I did thought it was interesting because he says one of the tactics is to create a facade of friendship. Now, truthfully, I don't think they're doing a very good job of that right now. I don't consider them friends of ours at all. I mean, maybe the Democrats do. Maybe the Biden administration does. But how does anybody with common sense consider them friends? I don't even think their actions say that they're being friends with us.
Exactly, Grant. And, you know, if you look at the video clip when President Xi Jinping of the Chinese Communist Party tried to shake hands with Blinken, when Blinken visited, him in China, in Beijing, you found Xi being very arrogant, not even looking into the eyes of Blinken, and shake hands for only 1 second and pull out his hands right away. And so you can tell, you know, the arrogance from the Xi, the dead emperor of the Chinese Communist Party, were on the table. And today, you know, what kind of friends will design, you know, different welfare strategies to conduct against the United States? And what kind of friends are conducting visits into, Europe and try to lobby these European countries to support Russia, to support, you know, a Russia-led security structures in Eastern Europe, and to support CCP's, dark hands in the Middle East, right? Chinese Communist Party is clearly not friends, not even friends of the Chinese people. CCP is enemy of the Chinese people, the American people, and people of the world. And there was no way for CCP to continue to pretend to be friend and establish partnership with the United States. What we need to do today is that we need to understand, you know, all these CCP's infiltration and longstanding connections in the United States. We need to draw on the swap.
Yep. And we need to spread the word, which is what this program's about, which is what the new federal state of China is doing. And we need to be relentless about it. I know you all are. We try to be here and on the Real America's Voice show because people need to wake up to the reality of what's going on. I think people on the right are starting to. Some in the center are. Those on the left are still oblivious, but it seems to me they're oblivious to everything. So we will keep trying to reach those people as well. But as always, Ayla, we are so grateful to you and the new federal state of China, all the whistleblowers that risk their lives to get us much of the information that you bring us. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Grant, thank you so much for having us speak against the Chinese Communist Party. Always an honor for us as well. We will take down the CCP.
Well, the pleasure is mine, and I can't wait to celebrate once that absolutely happens. And folks, it will happen. As long as we can get strong leadership here inside our own government that realizes the dangers. You know what that strong leadership is. Of course, that's President Trump. And we are all pulling for him to start moving us in the right direction again. Hey, don't forget my website, grantstinchfield.com. Grantstinchfield.com. Sign over the email list there, by the way, folks. I'm really starting to use that more and more. Plus, it's a great way for me to get in touch with you in case of an emergency. And that could be being deplatformed, whatever. GrantStinchfield.com, sign up for the email list. And of course, all the podcasts, TV shows, radio shows, everything where you can find us is right there on the website. God bless every single one of you. Stinchfield's Army Rolls. We'll see you tonight on the Real America's Voice Show, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll see you then.